Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, awaken our hearts. Awaken our hearts to what you desire for our lives. Father, help us to be filled now with your Holy Spirit, to hear what your word has to say to us. That, Lord, we may be the people that you have called us to be. We may be the people that you have intended us to be from all along. And that you may be glorified through it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. From 1989 to 2010, I was on staff at Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. 5 years after coming there on staff in 1994, the church voted to move. Now, it had been at the same spot for 130 years since the 1860s. And it voted to move because they were landlocked and they wanted to grow and there was just no place to go. So they did. 2 years later, we opened 7 miles northwest from the old site, what we call the multi-purpose building. It was a building that would have our worship services in it temporarily, plus our education space. In 5 years' time after opening that building, God blessed us greatly with an increase of worship attendance from 350 to 750. It was a time that was bathed in prayer. In 2001, we opened a very large education facility. It was also bathed in prayer. And attendance continued to grow until we were actually averaging an attendance on Sunday, 1,200 people. In 2008, a major push was made to build the permanent worship center. Now, you would think that would bring excitement to build the permanent worship center after being in a multi-purpose unit for this long. But prayer was not central in this. It turned into a construction project of impressing people with the building we wanted to build. Seeking God's direction was not seen as a priority. At least it didn't feel that way. Making disciples took a back seat. Building a structure that would impress the neighbors was front and center. People were leaving out the back door, slowly but surely. Then the economy collapsed at that time. And so did the attempt to build the worship center after thousands of dollars had been spent on the project. But God was not found in the project, and by 2010, attendance had decreased from 1,200 down to 800. Man-made efforts and desires brought failure. Next weekend is, as I've already said, the long-awaited awakening weekend. And beginning Friday from dinner at 6 o'clock all the way through Sunday morning, we eagerly await the great things that God has in store for Calvary Baptist. If you had not planned on coming, let me just say, first off, shame on you. Because this is about God's Spirit movement and His movement. Second, you need to change your mind and give this weekend over totally to Jesus Christ. Today's scripture is a story of amazement. Mount Vernon experienced the amazement of God as long as her eyes were on Him instead of self. And I want Calvary to prepare to be amazed. Prepare to be amazed. The young nation of Israel only knew one leader in its early days, and of course that was Moses. He led for 40 years. Moses didn't even start leadership till he was age 80. But when he died at the age of 120, at the very doorstep of the promised land, now Joshua was in charge. How in the world do you follow somebody like Moses?
How in the world do you become the next in line after Moses? I mean, Moses, God used him to bring the plagues upon Egypt, to part the Red Sea, for 40 years to guide the people as they wandered in the wilderness to prepare them for the entrance into the promised land. Joshua seemed young, like a young man. He was 60, but he seemed like a young man compared to Moses. Israel had camped along the eastern side of the Jordan River. Promised land was due west, right across the river. Of all things, it was also the rainy season, which means the Jordan River was at its highest levels during the year. But God promised that land. He promised that land, but how were they going to get across that river? How were they going to get there? And once they arrived, how were they going to take the land? Because you got to remember, they were nomad wanderers, not warriors. Well, that's where we pick up our scripture this morning. We're in Joshua, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length.'" That's about a half mile. "Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." And so they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. They tore down their tents. They headed toward the river. And then they set up camp there again, right at the river itself. Camp for 3 days. Jericho, 5 miles the other side of the Jordan. Oh, questions must have been going across their minds. They couldn't help but question certain things. Why are we following this new guy, Joshua? How do we even cross this river? How are we going to penetrate those walls of Jericho on the other side? And see, that's only the beginning. As we read, Joshua's commanders told the people, "Be prepared. When you see the Ark of the Covenant move forward," the Ark of the Covenant, the very visible presence of God there in their midst, "when you see that occur, follow." Follow. The people needed to stay, as I said, a half mile back, but they were to follow. God must lead, they must follow. If God did not lead, if the ark was not moving forward, then they were not to go forward. Only when God moved forward by the representation of the ark would they move forward. And if they didn't move forward in faith, if they didn't follow in faith, nothing would happen. Then Joshua told the people what they needed to do to prepare to see amazing things from God. Verse 5 again, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." If they wanted to see God's wonders, they needed to consecrate themselves. To prepare for godly amazement, they needed to consecrate themselves. Consecrate means to become holy. Pastor Mike made reference to in the prayer time. It's about being set apart for God's purposes, set apart from the world. It's to sanctify yourself before God. In this case, it involves sacrifice for the Israelites, sacrifice of unblemished animals for their sins. See, this was a day to get right before God. Stop with the pretenses of who you are in God. Instead, get right with God this day, they were saying. This is the day to have a contrite and broken heart before God. This was a day to give up personal control. Have faith. Let God do something in your midst. This was a day to place full trust in God instead of oneself. They must have willing hearts. They must have obedient hearts. And if they consecrated themselves, they would see amazing things occur. If they did not, if they refused to consecrate themselves, then the wonders would not occur. God had made them promises of that land beyond the river, but they needed to consecrate themselves if they wanted to stand on that land. So the Ark of the Covenant began to move. Can you hear the naysayers when this occurs? I mean, we know Moses had naysayers. We read stories of Moses' naysayers. I imagine naysayers are still present there too. The ark is moving forward. And I can hear them say, this isn't going to work. They're going to lose our ark right in the middle of that river. See, this generation never saw the parting of the Red Sea. That group died out. This was new for them. They had never crossed a river in faith. Have you crossed a river in faith? Have you had those difficulties in life and you couldn't see how it was going to work out, and so you chose, though, to trust God and cross that river in faith? I can hear them all say, Joshua, we need to do it the old-fashioned way, Joshua. We need to build a bridge. We need to build a bunch of boats and sail across the river. We can't walk right into that river. There always seems to be negative people. They always think they have faith. They proclaim they have faith until faith means stepping out in faith. And then all of a sudden, when you have to step out in faith, faith turns to sight. You got to prove it to me. You got to show it to me. I can't just take it on faith. Joshua, the priests and the ark, they're heading toward the river. And the naysayers just know it isn't going to work. But thankfully, it appears the general population consecrated themselves before the Lord, and the Jordan parted like the Red Sea. Consecration led to the amazement of God. They cross the river. They camp on the other side. The verses after what we just read just now tells us that after they get to the other side, the first thing they do is have a worship service. They praise God for the amazing things that have taken place. And then we also learn that they have their very first Passover there in the new land, in the promised land. It was a time of worshiping God. But then ahead of them loomed Jericho. Those impenetrable walls, the place that no one could defeat. Joshua received battle plans from God. March around the walls of Jericho for 6 days straight. The ark must lead. Once again, the ark, the representation of God, must lead. And the priest will blow 7 trumpets. And then on the 7th day, march 7 times around the city, led by the ark, led by God again. And after those 7 circuits, the priest will blow their trumpets and the people will shout. Joshua's instructions were, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. past tense. The Lord has given you the city. It's a done deal. You do the march around the city. It's a done deal. God's already given it to you. Oh, hear the naysayers again. We need a new leader. Joshua is crazy. What kind of battle plans are these? And then my favorite line, of course, must have been said, if I was in charge, we would do it the right way. But they carried out God's plans in faith, and the walls fell. One more story. A little later on, the Israelites set their eyes on the small city of Ai, spelled A-I. No defenses, no big deal. But the scripture says the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. They broke faith. In other words, consecration went out the window, went off to the sidelines, and the people tried this one on their own. Hey, God, we got this one. You take a day of rest. Remember when you created the world and the seventh day you rested? Well, this is one of those days. You can take a rest on this one, God. Thanks for all your help, but you can take a rest. We can handle little bitty I by ourselves. And they were defeated. Badly. When they were consecrated before the Lord, God did amazing things. When they failed to consecrate themselves before the Lord, they failed to do even the simplest of endeavors. That's the story of Mount Vernon Baptist Church too. When they followed God's leadership and consecrated their lives before God, amazing things happened. But when they endeavored on their own in pride and personal control, left God out of the project, they failed miserably. Does Calvary Baptist want to see the wonders of God take place? That's got to be the question. Do we want to see the wonders of God take place? Are we prepared to be amazed? Are we at the Jordan River or Jericho? Are we at self-confident I? I believe strongly in what God can do in our lives next weekend, but it starts today. It starts today. We must do exactly what Joshua told the people of Israel to do. Joshua 3:5 again. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. If we want to see the wonders of God take place tomorrow, we got to get serious and consecrate ourselves today. Calvary must be serious about consecrating ourselves, or God is not going to display His wonders before our eyes. What does it mean to consecrate our lives, though? What does that mean? I think one of the best descriptions is found in a psalm written by King David. The entirety of Psalm 51 is worth studying and reading, but for brevity's sake, let me just read you a portion of that psalm. Psalm 51, beginning with verse 10, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and hold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Well, let me give you some thoughts or steps, you could call them, in consecration. And the first one is, admit you're a sinner. I don't care how great or how small you think your sin is. I don't care if you've been a long-time Christian or not. We all need to come to renewal about the sin in our lives. Honestly, if you're a complainer, a whiner, a demander, a personal ways, a gossiper, a territorial person within the church, your sin's just as bad as an abuser or an adulterer in the eyes of God. Actually, in many ways, it's easier to recover as a church if there's an adultery and abuse involved than it is if there's gossiping and territorialism and whining and things like that, because those aren't overt. Those happen behind the scenes. Those are the hardest ones to recover from as a church. This is the day to get serious with God and admit the sins in our lives. And if we don't think we're sinning, we need to go to God and say, God, reveal my sins to me. Second, let God clean you up. Let God clean you up. You cannot clean up the mess on your own. That's our problem. We try to clean our sins up. We can't. It's impossible. You'll stay in your sin if you try to do the job. Turn it over to God and say, God, clean me up. Third, change of attitude required. David asked God for a right spirit in him. A right spirit. Now, if you're one of these people that's always right about things and others are always wrong, you need a right spirit today. You need an attitude change. I mean, even David, who was called a man after God's own heart, was pursuing a right spirit within him. If you carry a chip on your shoulder, you need a right spirit. If you cannot exhibit grace when others fail or fall, you need a right spirit. Also, you need to ask for the original joy found on the day of your salvation. David asked for that joy to return. Do you remember that initial joy of knowing that your sins were gone, your sins were forgiven, and you were totally cleansed, that original joy you had on that day? Do you still have that joy? Have you kind of lost it over time? It also needs to be an attitude of praise. The Israelites, as soon as they got across that river, they worshiped. We worship God for His love, for His forgiveness, for His mercy, for His grace, because we don't deserve any of it. But there also needs to be a point where we bring God a sacrifice. Let me give you a couple ways straight from David's psalm. One is a broken spirit. We need to have a broken spirit before God. Like a broken horse, you surrender your will for God's will. Stop acting like my will be done and admit you need God's will in your heart and life. And the other one is a broken and contrite heart. This is just an attitude adjustment. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And too many Christians understand service as meaning serve me and get my way. And then there's the other side. There are those who say, well, I've spent a whole lot of life serving. It's time someone else serves or someone else serves me. God doesn't retire Christians, folks. He calls us to serve our entire life. A broken and contrite heart says, forget about me. Forget about my desires. Serve others and get my stinking selfish attitude out of the way. If as a church we can make this commitment, I believe we will see the wonders of God take place like never before in the history of this church. But why? Because God at work at Calvary is of greater importance than your desires and dreams or my desires and dreams. And without God at work, what we will do is constantly fight the dismal battle of I. And I'm not talking about AI, I'm talking about I, selfish pride I. Without God at work, we'll constantly fight I. 2 Sundays ago, April 9th, 9 years after the failure of Mount Vernon to build the worship center, the new worship center opened up. 9 years later. It took 9 years for the church to recover from the time of personal desires to turning it over to God. 9 years. Sometime after the debacle of Israel and Ai, Israel finally defeated Ai. But how did they do it? God's leadership. They reconsecrated themselves unto the Lord and turned it over to Him. My plea this morning is to wake up, Calvary. Wake up, Calvary. Prepare to be amazed. Prepare to be amazed. Seek the wonders of God that's in store for our church. But to do that, we must turn our whole lives over to Him. Say, He is Lord. Make Him Lord instead of ourselves. We need to trust His path, not our own path. We need to step out in faith. The river is flowing in front of us, and we need to step out in faith instead of looking at it by sight. Say, yes, God, whichever way You've called me. We do need to honor the past yet, but God is always up to something new. We need to anticipate the new that God has in store for us. And we need to keep moving forward even when the river tries to stop us. Wait on God instead of being in control. And we must pray. Remember how Joshua's ministry as their leader ended? He is there on that last day. He's talking to the people and He challenges them. He challenged them to put away all their idols and all this stuff that they had built up and everything. And He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your cry today? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will consecrate ourselves and prepare it for the amazing things God has done. Well, as we come to this time of commitment, I want us to just take a moment of silent prayer and lift up to the Lord those things that you are keeping from Him and how you need to consecrate yourself before Him. And then after that, we'll have our hymn of commitment. Let's go to the Lord now and lift up your prayers unto Him. Father, we wait on something amazing that You have in store for us. But Lord, You call us to step out in faith, to consecrate ourselves, to turn ourselves away from those things that keep us separated from You, those things that keep us from being holy in Your presence. You have set us apart from the world. You have set us apart for Your purposes. Are we living out that? Are we trying to live like the world and live for our purposes? Lord, I pray that You will change our hearts. You'll pour out Your Holy Spirit on each one of us. Help us to get serious about this thing called a walk with You. And turn our eyes to You. Surrender all that we are and have to You. That You may be glorified, that You may be honored. And that, Father, we look to You releasing amazing things within our midst. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Maybe this morning you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. And today is the day to make that decision. Find forgiveness of your sins completely because of Jesus' work on the cross of taking your sin. Ask Jesus in your heart and make that choice to follow Jesus Christ the rest of your life. And then you'll be set apart by God for His work and His purposes. During our song, in just a moment, you can come and talk with Pastor Mike or myself and pray with us. Or if you want to even just talk afterwards, we can. Or maybe there's other decision you need to make. Maybe It's just a time of consecrating yourselves before the Lord. And you can do it before you be standing praying more, or come up front and bow before God and pray. Prepare your heart for the amazing things He has ahead. Whatever God has called you to be open to His call now. Let's stand as we sing together, "I Surrender All."